Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The passage of time is a fascinating thing. Transitioning from one year to the next is done all around the world and is observed by many. Big celebrations are going on as we speak, ushering in the great new year. Most of the attitudes that accompany the new year are positive, with hope and goodwill for the next 365 days to come. Some will sleep through the celebration, as they have done in the past. And some will see the strike of midnight tonight as the start of yet another year with more of the same troubles and struggles. While so much is made of the change from one year to the next, you know well that there is no real felt difference between the last second of 2015 and the first second of 2016. You have known this to be true with each birthday that you celebrate. There is a great change in a span of 20 years, but not in the change of one day. Still, the truth remains that each new day brings hope. Hope that things will be better than they were the day before. Even more so for the celebration of the new year. Whether the idea of the new year excites you or it depresses you, all can agree that what the new year holds remains a mystery. The good news is that God holds all time within His hand, and He will work together all things for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, as Paul has stated in Romans 8:28. And so what we are left to do at the end of the old year is to reflect. What were the most memorable moments for you this past year? Did you get a new job? Did you start dating someone new? Did you get married? Did you have a child? Did you graduate? Did a loved one die? Did you have a surgery? Did you travel? Thinking back on the past 52 weeks, were you proud of your efforts that you put forward in your work, in your family? What areas of improvement await for you in the next year? The end of the old year is a great time and chance to take stock in the past and to prepare for the time that is still ahead. But none of this stock taking is prescribed in the Bible, per se. God does give us guidance in remembering our past and preparing for our future. Most specifically from our gospel reading tonight, as Jesus preparing His disciples for His coming return on the very last day, warning them against being ill-prepared for His arrival. Jesus uses the imagery of a man attending a wedding feast with his servants awaiting his return. The servants always want to be there fulfilling their vocations and thus impressing their master with their dedication and their service. If he finds them asleep when he returns, how unfortunate for those servants. But if they are awake and fulfilling their duties, he will greatly reward them, according to this text, in a very shocking way, by him serving them. For us as Christians, we certainly want to be awake in the faith when our Lord Jesus Christ returns on the last day to welcome us into his great wedding feast. We can easily fall asleep in the faith by neglecting to hear God's word, by failing to call upon his name in every trouble, by not keeping his name holy among us. The Lord will find us sleeping in the faith if we are not regularly in the place where he has promised to meet us, to feed us. Those whom the Lord Jesus will find awake when he returns are those who are gathered around his means of grace, those who are baptized into the name of Christ, who receive his great gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. In so doing, partaking of those great gifts of God's grace, by taking and receiving them into our own selves, we are taking stock in the rock who is the Christ. In so doing, you are building your future and your hope on the foundation that is sure, that is for all of eternity. Reflecting on the past, you are confronted over and over with your own sinfulness, your own failures. Meditating on God's law reminds you of those delinquencies, that you will continue on in your sin each and every day from here on forward. Your past will continue to haunt you, whether you are a son or a daughter, brother or sister, husband or wife, mother or father, worker, neighbor, pastor, parishioner. All of those sins from your past and the guilt that so freely accompanies them, they know no boundary at the beginning of a new year. They will continue to stick with you and can cling to you now and on into the future. While your sins do not respect the passing on to a new year, your sins do have a stopping point. Their effectiveness at dragging you down in guilt and in shame have a limit line. Your sins, your guilt, your shame all stop at the same place, the cross of Christ. Forgiveness for all of those sins and the remedy for that guilt are all met in the crucified Lord Jesus. But even after that moment of Christ's crucifixion and all of sin's undoing, here we are continuing on in our sinfulness. The power of the cross to stop sin and guilt in their tracks lies now in the confession of those sins, calling them out for what they are. Repenting of them leaves them powerless. And the forgiveness which Christ won by his own suffering and death upon the cross is proclaimed to you in absolution, in the stead. And by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. The Lord Jesus adds his great word of forgiveness to the tangible and edible bread and wine of his new covenant meal. In, with, and under the bread and wine is the true word of Christ, is the Christ himself, his own body and blood. And with him, wherever he is the forgiveness of sins. And he is there in the bread and the wine, giving you his crucified and resurrected body and blood, strengthening you for life here and now, in the year to come, and forever. While your sins meet their end in the cross of Christ and in his means of grace, Christ and his grace continue on in you unto life everlasting. So the start of your new year is one done in grace, in mercy, and in peace. Your new year begins in the name of Jesus, for you bear that name upon you. Your new year is clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. Regardless of what this next year brings, regardless if the bad far outweighs the good, in the next 12 months, it is all in Christ Jesus, your Lord. He holds it all in his hand, and he is already there, waiting for you with his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. All that remains for you is to join him there, even as you join with him here and now. Truly, as Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. No greater promise, no greater blessing, no greater hope can be given to you than that. That God is for you. And that nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. The new year begins in that truth. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus.